Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Religion Mean Alive. I'm your host for today, Mubashir Akhtar from Brooklyn. My good brother and friend, my buddy Mem Alfred, had called me and asked me to open up for him because I'd like for all of you to say a prayer for the Imam and his family. His sister passed recently, I think today. Earlier today or last night, and he's going through a period of a little difficulty. So I'm asking all the believers to say a prayer for the Imam and his family. And I want us to continue in the good spirit of the Imam and a Religion Mean Alive. But first, I'd like to always begin with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I oath and bear witness and testify to the whole world that there is nothing worthy of worship but Allah. And when we say Allah, that's the name of God that is presented to us in our holy book, the Quran. And, that's the name of the one that created the heavens and earth and everything in between. And we bear witness that Muhammad, he's the seal of the prophet. He's the last of the prophet to humanity that God sent. I greet you with the greeting of peace of all of the prophets. Assalamu alaikum. And as usual, when I be listening to Brother Imam Alfred, show, it's called Religion Mean a Lie, and he's one of the few imams that I really enjoy listening to, because Imam Alfred is on the course of trying to wake up our people first, because he realized that God said charity to start at home and then spreads abroad. And I have traveled with the Imam, and I've heard him give speeches, and he constantly is trying to get our people to see and understand what God has done for us as a people here in the United States of America, a people that was shut out in every quarter of this American society at one time in our history, because we belong to people that were put in captivity and brought to America from the country of Africa and put into slavery. And we have lost much, and many other people in the world did not lose or were not ever separated from. And what is that? Our language was taken away from us, our tradition, our culture, and most of all, our God and our religion. So in listening to me, Imam Alfred's show, Religion Mean a Lie, I think he's on time with that subject, because this is a big subject. And Imam Alfred, more than most of them that I hear, he sticks to the subject of religion mean alive. And this is how we have to become alive. We don't come alive in religion, brothers and sisters. There's no telling what's going to happen to our future generation. Because the Imam asked a question and a statement at the same time to us. He said that we are so far behind all the rest of the people, all the nations of people on this earth. He said we're so far behind them, and especially the white man. He said, now, how do we catch up, being that we are so far behind? And the Imam said, we catch up through religion. And I think Imam Alfred, he heard that. He heard that from the Imam, because he's a student of the Imam. The Imam said, we catch up through religion, by religion. Yeah, he said, religion is what ruled the world. He didn't say politics ruled the world. He said, religion ruled the world. So the Imam said, that's how we catch up, being so far behind. We catch up through religion. Why? He may answer, because religion rules the world. Yes, and this is the day and time that we're in now. The Dean Alfred, the Dean, is talking about religion and the debt that we owe to God. So religion means alive, brothers and sisters. And those people that captured us, they knew how important religion was in the life of people. Now, most of us think religion is talking about going to church, whooping and hollering, shouting, rolling around on the floor, forming at the mouth, eyes rolling back in your head, shouting and hollering, and calling Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we think that's a sincere religious person. That's a big mistake. And this world has sensitized us to listen to these kind of statements coming out of religious institutions, talking about religion to a people who had been made ignorant, and they were made ignorant through the religious process.
that the slave masters took us through when they took us out of our country called Africa, away from the way that we accepted and believed in the religion. And that was the religion that is the dominant religion in Africa right now. And that is the religion of Islam. Now, religion, Islam is not the only religion that is being promoted in the world today. There's Judaism, there's Christianity, there's Buddhism, all kind of religious ideas and persuasions. But how alive is those people in those religions? That's the point. So when Imam Afri said religion means alive, he's not just talking about any kind of life. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the kind of life that would stand us up as a human being in the world to get what was taken away from us. What was taken away from us? Our culture, our tradition, our language, our education. And these are the subjects that Imam Afri be speaking about when he say religion means alive. We have to come alive in our culture life, our social life, our political life, our spiritual life, our economic life. We have to come alive in those things, dear listening people. And when you do that, religion is a way of life. Not any kind of life. It is the complete way of life. It is the life that God has designed for every human being on this earth to come into their destiny by the religion that he say is the religion for the whole of humanity. So we thank Almighty God for Imams like Imam Alfred, and I thank Brother Imam Alfred for even thinking about me and asking me to help him to open up for him on the show because of a situation. We're human. And, sister, I think that might have been his oldest sister, and she wanted him to be there with her, and he's trying to make preparation to see if he can get there because it was a spirit of a moment thing with him. He didn't know that she was going to be going this soon. And if there's any kind of way that anyone can really help the imam, he told me she called him off. It's called him off guard because of his financial situation, and he will need help if he can to see if we can help Imam Alfred be able to get there for his family because his sister requested that he be there. So, but Imam, we pray and ask Allah again to bless you and your family and make it easy on you and your family. I mean, so there were a lot of people. Religion means a lie. And that's a very, very important subject, not just to us as a people that has been put under a serious condition through religion. It was religion that the people say that we should have, and that same religion that they gave us is really deprived us of our freedom, justice, and equality. Now, when Imam Muhammad, or when Imam Alfred Muhammad talk about religion being alive, and he have to go into deep psychological situation that has taken place among the African American descendants of slaves, especially in their heart and in their soul and their mind. We have had tremendous, tremendous psychological damage done to us through religion. So when he is focusing on religion being alive, it's not just any religion. He's not talking about any kind of situation that many people have not experienced on the level that we experienced and coming through a religion that took away our identity, our culture, our language, and most of all, our God. So when he comes forward and speaks to you on religion in the life, don't too quick to not listen, because there's much work needs to be done on the African-American people. We have to focus on what have happened to us more than anything else. We can't put this before, we can't put us behind and put everything else in front of us to get to where we got to go. We need to know what religion have done to us, and we need to know how we can become alive again in the religion that God say is the religion for all humankind. And the name of that religion is Al-Islam.
Now, knowing Imam Alfred, being with him, I've traveled with him, I walked with him, I ate with him, I slept with him, and we have talked many hours in the hotel room setting up, and I've heard him trying to get a subject together to reach the hearts and souls and the minds of the people, not but first our people. Now, some of you might think that he's been a little, you might call him, a racist for what he's doing and trying to talk to the African-American mind, because this is what he's seen in the skills and the works of our Prophet Muhammad and in the skills and the works of our leader, Imam Muwahhidin Muhammad, the strategy that they used. Prophet Muhammad addressed the whole world that was around him through his people. His people had a problem. His people was in darkness. They was worse than savages. I mean, they were savage, some of them. They had no moral concern about what was going on, especially with their daughters and their wives. Many of them rejected daughters and wives. They were so chauvinistic and so what they call macho man that they didn't even want any daughters. All they wanted was sons, because they was loved the war. At that time, they had a lot of warriors, warring tribes that existed among the continent of Arabia at that time. So Muhammad the Prophet, being concerned over the condition of his people, he would go away and go in solitude up in a mountain, Mount Nur. That was a mountain known by the Arabs at that time for, well, perhaps some people that wanted to go and get away from the muck and mire of the situation in the town they were in. Muhammad the Prophet was one of those kinds that were like that. He would go away from the public, and he would focus on God and asking God to help him and show him a way to help his people. Now, Imam Muhammad was of that kind of mind, and there's many of our ancestors was of that kind of mind. Frederick Douglass, Dr. King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Nat Turner, all of these people was of that kind of mind, looking at their people condition and wanted to know what could they do to bring about a better life for their people. We even had women, Harriet Tubman, Fran McCloud Bethune, you know, Sojourner Truth, huh? Rosa Parks, Sister Clara Muhammad, Dr. King's wife, one of these honorable women, Maya Angelou, and may God forgive her faults and her sins and grant her the paradise, a great poet she just passed to, great lady. And you listen to her poem, they will focus on the condition of their people as well as the humanity at large. But we have to look at ourselves, brothers and sisters, and see what God has done for us and bringing us out of darkness into the light. And it has been Imam Alpha Muhammad has been one of the ones out front pointing to what we need and what we must do to try to get ourselves back whole again. Because many of us have gone backwards. We have regressed in our thinking, especially in our moral conduct. Some of us, we don't even want to hear nothing about religion. So I'd like to share with you something that Imam Muhammad says about this message. It's a message in religion. And Imam Muhammad said, the message in religion, he said, Almighty God has done a great thing with the man and the woman. And he has really placed a great responsibility upon us by manifesting his power and his glory in us. Y'all please listen. Imam says, we should now feel obligated to serve Almighty God and to take the responsibility for all the weaknesses and the faults of those who are inferior in the growth of their inner self. Now I heard Imam Alpha always point to this. You know, we got to try to reach our brothers and sisters in the street. In the street, we got to try to reach our people first. Because charity start at home and then go abroad. But we have mixed up leaders There's a lot of them that is calling themselves Muslim leaders. They want to look outside first and try to help everybody outside before they help what's on the inside. And that's what makes a difference in Imam Alpha Muhammad, religion being alive. Because religion, the message in religion is just what Imam Muhammad said. He said, we should now feel obligated to serve Almighty God and to take the responsibility for all the weakness and the faults of those who are inferior in the growth of their inner self. He said, we should feel that their bad conduct is a burden on us. So we should be concerned about life everywhere. We should be concerned about the condition of plant life, the state of animal life, and the development of human life. Imam says, Almighty God has brought us up above the level of all life on earth without making us physically bigger than the elephant and without giving us muscles like the gorilla. He said, in fact, he has not even given us longer life than many animals or plants, but he has given us something else that has made us the gods in the physical universe. Now, that was the word that the Imam said at that time, because we know we're no gods. We're only mortal from the mortals. He, Allah, created. And when the Imam was talking at that time, he was talking to people who was not familiar at all, mostly with the religion of Al-Islam and how we see God in the religion of Al-Islam. He was speaking to Christian-minded people that have seen God out of their eyes, and not of the eyes of the ones that God gave knowledge to, and how to recognize and understand that God is one, and one alone, that he is no, he has no mother, no father, no sisters, no brothers, no aunts, and no uncle, that he's God and God alone. And he is the one that created the white man, the black man, the brown man, the red man, the yellow man, and that we are no gods. We're only mortals from the mortals he, Allah, created. So, Imam is saying something, and he's really talking to the Christian world, and he was talking to a condition that we had inherited from being in the Nation of Islam and coming through that process where this foreigner by the name of Farhad Muhammad introduced the religion of Islam to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May God have mercy on all of those souls and bless them and get them paradise. And we had been given really a misunderstanding and concept of what religion was according to our holy book, the Quran. So when Imam and his skillfulness and our Muhammad the Prophet and his skillfulness and in his strategy had to bring the people of his time in Mecca away from worshiping false gods, Imam had to do the same thing for us in America as Muslims coming out of the Nation of Islam. Imam Muhammad said, but he has given us something else that has made us the caliph in the physical universe. And in the Bible, he called the vice general. And he says, nothing else is superior to us. So we should feel that we are responsible for the conditions of the world. The mission in religion, y'all please listen. The Imam said, the mission in religion is that man has been favored by God among all his creatures, and that God's favor places a heavy responsibility upon us. Now, this is where the Imam Alfred come in and trying to help our people first to see the responsibility that we have in building ourselves up morally, spiritually, materially, and especially economics, and especially education-wise. You know, we have to be retaught all over again because we have went back to sleep, brothers and sisters, and we have forget, and we have stepped away and left and went down another road from the dignified principles and moral strength and power that we've seen in our ancestors when they were coming up out of slavery, such as a man as Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was born a slave. He was born a slave. Born a slave. He wasn't born a free man. He was born a slave. And he had two slave masters. One of them
The first one he had was a good slave master that treated him decently. And his wife was a respectable wife, a slave mistress. And she took a liking to Frederick Douglass. And she began to help him learn to read and to write. And she would give him different books, even if she had to sneak behind her husband's back to help him. She would do that. So Frederick Douglass became knowledgeable. He was sort of what we call self-taught. And his soul was right. He had a good soul, a good spirit. And God recognized that. So God also taught Frederick Douglass. God taught Frederick Douglass too. And God strengthened Frederick Douglass and gave Frederick Douglass insight into his human nature, into his human condition that the world had captured and put him in. And when he began to use his mind began to be turned on by God's word, that God spoke to him directly to his soul. And he began to look at the condition in his people. He said, I got to do something here. I can't only change my condition. I got to change the condition of my people. He said, we bad off economically, spiritually, and educational-wise. We bad off. So Frederick Douglass began to address the concern of his people and the condition of his people, as well as the condition that he was in with his people. And don't you know, we had more unity, looked like then, than a lot of us want to have now. And the email reminded us. He said, when they brought us over here into slavery, they did not bring us over here one at a time. We came over here as a group. They brought us over here as groups. And we have a group situation here. We have a group experience as a people being shut out and put down, shut out from an economical growth, educational growth, spiritual growth, and moral growth. We were shut off from that to be able to do that for ourselves. This is why I appreciate you, Brother Imam Alfred, because you keep reminding us that we got to do for self, man. We got to do for self. We can't be worried about other people's conditions around the world. And when they come to this country, the first thing place they come to is down in our community and take a little bit of what we already work hard to get. They want to take that away from us, and they want to dominate us and put us under their thumbs again as their little flunkies and slave masters. And don't you know, many of these so-called Muslims that came through the movement of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and through the movement of Imam W.D. Muhammad accepted to be slaves all over again under the earth, and that's a shame. And that's why I support Imam Alfred when he say religion means a lie. Not the religion that they're trying to give us. The religion going to make us a slave all over again. They gave us a religion. And when we be talking to you about Christianity, we're not putting down the Christian people. We're not putting down Jesus Christ. We're putting down an ideology that they put together and lied on that it came from Jesus Christ. No, Frederick Douglass, that's what he told the white man. He said, you profess to be Christian. You profess to be Christ-like. That's what Frederick Douglass told him, told his slave master. He said, you profess to be Christian. You profess to be Christ-like. He said, but the way you treat me and my people was shame. A nation of savages. Y'all hear what I say? This is what Frederick Douglass told the slave master. He became such a champion for fighting and promoting the understanding to come to us and help us to see and understand we as a people, we have to become united, we have to become concerned, and most of all, we have to respect the Creator, the Creator. That is the watcher and the caretaker of all of his creation. That's what we have to do. And I appreciate you, Imam Alfred, from keeping this alive, especially trying to reach the leaders that is over our community and over our people, that we must have a serious concern and we must have a heart that addressed our situation at home, in our communities, in our homes, and in our schools that our children go to and belong to. We must have that first interest there, and then we are spread abroad. And that we cannot go out into the world and talk about we got to go over here and go over there and help them people, and we haven't even helped ourselves. This is what Imam Alpha means about when he said religion means a lie. Because if you get the religion that Abraham got, if you get the religion that Moses got, you get the religion that Jesus Christ got, you get the religion that Muhammad got, peace be upon all of them. You get the religion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Karam Muhammad, all of the wonderful men and women that came into the proper understanding of religion through their great son, Honorable Imam W.D. Muhammad. And you get the religion that Imam Muhammad brought to us by God's permission, following the leadership of Muhammad the Prophet, bringing his people out of ignorance, bringing his people out of poor economic situation, and giving them a better life. If you follow that religion, then religion will be alive to you. And this is what Imam Alpha is trying to get you to see when he say religion means alive. I also want to share with you something else that the Imam said about religion. The Imam says, the language of religion. Imam Muhammad said, it is necessary for us to clearly understand the human growth pattern of the individual to be able to understand the natural development and growth of a society. He said, to understand the makeup of society, he said, we can learn much by observing nature. Imam said, throughout the Bible, the tree and the vine are used as symbols to represent types of human society. He said, when we study the tree, we see that it is a three-part figure with roots in the ground, the trunk extends up out of the earth, and on the top, there are leaves and branches. Imam said, the scripture has used the tree to give religious people a simple picture of the society. As difficult as some people see religion to be, Imam said, it is not difficult. He said, religion is simple and easy if it is properly presented to the mind. He said, the world is like a train or vehicle moving in the direction of the world. When we come to you with religion, you have to put on brakes and turn back in the direction of yourself. Y'all hear that? Imam said, the world is like a train or a vehicle moving in the direction of the world. When we come to you with religion, you have to put on brakes and turn back in the direction of yourself. Ain't that what Imam Alpha Muhammad is trying to get us to see? That we got to do for self. And I agree with him. I support him wholeheartedly. That's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. We need to do for self, turn back to ourselves. We don't need no foreigners coming here like we might be little babies coming among us, talking down to us, and putting us under their thumb and putting us under their direction for us in our life. No, we're going to turn back to our own self. And thank God for strong Imam, like Imam Alpha Muhammad, and other brothers that are here that come on these block talk shows and trying to get us to see that we can't abandon what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was blessed to bring to us and doing for self. We ain't going to never be the tail no more. You can forget about that. We got a table that everybody on this earth can sit down to eat from because we're like Joseph Cotto, many colors. But one thing we want the foreigners to know, I don't care what part of the world you come from, you will not be the sitting at the head of the table. No, you won't be sitting at the head of the table. You can sit down at the table, but you definitely ain't going to be at the head of the table. It's going to be one of us at the head of that table. Now, you can take that like you want to. Now, Imam Muhammad said, the confusion comes when you are not able to recognize that the direction in which you have been moving is not the direction that would lead you to yourself. Now, listen, Imam Muhammad said, the language of religion seems hard to you because you are not familiar with the simple language of religion. The language of religion, please listen, the language of religion is the simplest language in the world. The easiest way to present a very deep message is through the religious language or the scripture. The Imam said religion requires thinking. I think I'm
I got a little bit more time. But I want the Imam to know that whatever I can do, Brother Imam, to help you and your family, man, that I would do all my might to try to help. I would try to help you, Brother Imam. I would try.
I just want to
wrap this up, because Brother Imam, I know you ain't got much time. You're busy, so I might call my time short. I just want to say this, Brother Imam. Then
Brother Imam, go ahead another 10 minutes if you can.
Oh, okay, that's all I need, then, Brother Imam. I just want to finish some what religion requires.
Take your time. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. The Imam says that religion requires thinking. He said another mistake people make when they see something different is that they forget to consider the condition of the situation in which they live. Now, I hear Imam Alpha trying to get this kind of understanding on the table when he come on every day, because he's right in tune. He's a student of the Imam for a long time, and I know this brother. I know him. Me and him don't always agree on everything, but I know one thing we agree on. We agree on that we don't want none of these foreigners over our children and misleading our children. And we don't want to be at the tail of nobody else no more. And we don't want nobody coming to our house trying to tell us what to do like we ain't got no mind. No, that's all over with. That ain't gonna never happen no more, because we have been blessed to have the best leaders to come from among our own kind. Now, Imam Muhammad said another mistake people make when they see something different is that they forget to consider the condition or the situation in which they live. He said when people think of religion as complicated and deep, they are forgetting how complicated and deep the world is in which they live. Imam said, believe me, the deepest knowledge is religious knowledge. He said, you should not expect to achieve the understanding of such a great knowledge without thinking. Imam Muhammad said, we have been trained to believe that we can understand religious knowledge without thinking. Most religious teachers direct themselves to your feelings. Now, Imam Alpha is always trying to get you to not listen to the hoop and hollers. He called them hoop and hollering preachers, because that's exactly what they do. They're not trying to appeal to your mind, brothers. This is me talking now. They're trying to prove to reach your sentiments. And this is what Imam Muhammad said. Imam Muhammad supports what Imam Alfred and myself and those of us that studied Imam. Imam, when we read his it supports what we're trying to get the people to see as well. Imam said, we have been trained to believe that we can understand religious knowledge without thinking. He said, most religious teachers direct themselves to show to your feelings instead of to your mind. I'm gonna have to read this again. Imam Muhammad said, most religious teachers direct themselves to your feelings instead of to your mind. He said, in order to arise your sentiments to make you begin to love God, they begin to tell you how much Jesus loved you and how many sacrifices he made for you. Imam said, you begin to feel a kind of communication with heavenly ideals, but you are not given the knowledge to know very much. The teachings of Jesus in the New Testament have been translated. Y'all listen. Imam Muhammad said the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament have been translated, interpreted, and interpolated. But you can still see that he was not appealing to the sentiments, emotions of the people, as much as he was appealing to their good senses and to their intelligence. Now, Imam Alfred is on that road right here with the Imam saying that Jesus did. He said Jesus Christ is appealing to the intelligence of our people to use good common sense and use their intelligence to get our needs, our must-haves and can't do without. Use our own intelligence and on our own good five senses and getting our needs, must-haves and can't do without. Let it come from us. We appreciate you, Brother Imam Alfred.
Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. So I'm gonna continue this here, and I'm because I'm. Oh yes, I got a couple of moments. Imam gave me a couple of moments. You know what I'm saying? If you go to school or college, he said you must meet the challenge of higher mathematics, such as trigonometry and calculus. He said a person who has only progressed as far as elementary school would not know about those complicated theories and concepts of higher mathematics. You know what I'm saying? Should he say that these concepts are false and that they do not exist simply because they seem difficult to him and he cannot relate to them? You know what I'm saying? The fact is the higher concepts do exist and they run the higher world. Now, this is going to bring me closer to the time for me to bring out Imam on Alpha Muhammad. But I want to leave you with this. Imam Muhammad says the higher knowledge. He said, even though higher knowledge runs the higher world, how many common people and relatives grasp the language of higher knowledge? When we talk about God and his truth, most of the people mistakenly think that these subjects should be so simple that they do not have to think. Huh? Man said, God's truth is the greatest truth and the deepest truth. But he knows how to put his truth in such simple language that the lowest of the people and intelligent can understand it if they would only think. Nowhere, the Imam said, nowhere in the scripture does it say that you can close up your ears and get the divine message. If you cannot see and hear, you are dead. Y'all hear that? Do y'all hear that? If you cannot see and hear, you're dead. You need more than this teaching. You need a rebirth, a resurrection. I heard the Imam Alpha say that many times. We got to resurrect. We got to resurrect our people. We got to give them a new life, a new birth. Now, Imam Muhammad said, because most of the people in our world are actually dead, they have to be reborn. We must spend time working on you. We must spend time working on you. I'm going to say it again. We must spend time working on you, teaching you, giving you the word of God, trying to get your ear to come alive, buddy, now, to come alive, because it is there. It's the simple truth. This is Religion Me Now. I have been a host and co-host and helping Imam Alfred, as he called me, asked me would I do him a favor. I would gladly do it because I appreciate the work that Imam Alfred Muhammad is doing here in the New York, New Jersey, New York area, and trying to just do that, bring our people alive and get us to see that we have to do this for ourselves. We have to do this for our ancestors because many of them, they sacrificed good Christians. I came up in the St. John Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina, little town called Walltown. Not fun from Haiti. I heard Imam Ramadan talking about the history of Haiti. I was raised up in that area. I come from them. I was movie houses, buddy. Amber, black owned. The black hotel. Biltmore Hotel right beside the River Theater. All of that was black. All of that was black in Haiti. And I came up with the first black bank, North Carolina Mutual Bank. I could walk to it from my house. All of these things I could walk to come from my house when we used to walk to the movie. We've seen the North Carolina Mutual. That's in Durham, North Carolina. These were people that did something for themselves. I came up in the community where there was in our community, we had our own stores, our own shopping centers, our own barber shops and shoe shine parlors, our own swimming pool, our own playground, baseball fields, basketball playground. We had that coming up when I was a kid because we were concerned more than ever doing for self. Now, the shaitan came in, the mist, and brought about integration. And there ain't nothing wrong with that because that's what the world is leading to now, a one world order. But it ain't not like the devil presents or shaitan presents or integration to the world. It calls us to hate and despise one another. That's what he did. And when the Reconstruction, he took the slaves that, most of them people, you know, they weren't conditioned to run no world or do nothing for themselves. So them Northerners came down to the South with their schemes and put the black man on top of his slave master. Now, you know what kind of animosity that white man going to have. When the one time he had a black man under his foot, the black man couldn't do nothing but say, yes, sir. If the white man said, jump, he said, ah.
Now, we came through those conditions. Then all of a sudden, here come a movement to put us in charge without training us or giving us the knowledge and understanding of how to do these things. Now, a lot of our people, they did have that kind of knowledge, but the scheme of the Shaitan was bigger than that little group. And so they had us in a situation to make the white people hate us more because they took the slaves, especially from those psychotic white folks, those really, really crazy white folks that came out of Europe and became masters over us here in the South. Some of them people were some of the sickest people in humanity and mentally immoral that you ever seen on this earth. And they was in charge of us for a long time. And they took out of their abuse on us because they was abused also in their land. They was abused. And most of the time, the imam was trying to get the Jews to see this here. He said, now, you talk about the Holocaust and what was done to you, but then God bless you to get a little power in the land. And what you do? You take a group of people and treat them worse than you was treated. And you call that justice? That's not no justice. That's what God says to us in our holy book, do not let another people wrong cause you to do wrong. But a lot of people have a hard time following that principle. A lot of people. And that's what's wrong with too many of these so-called Afrocentric leaders. They still want to hop on what happened, the hurt that we experienced through slavery. Everybody's experienced a little bit of hurt in their lives as a group of people. The Palestinians, yeah, we can talk about their hurt. The Jews, we can talk about their hurt. But one thing that we don't want to forget is this here. Out of all of them, you put all their hurt together on one side of the scale and put ours on the other side, our hurt outweigh all of them. But look what God has done for us. God has given us sober-minded leaders, such as Imam Warren Fadim Muhammad, that was born to keep the balance. Imam Muhammad is the one that gave us balance in our rational and logical thinking again. He is the one that God blessed to see the whole freedom movement. And he brought a new spirit. And I was with Imam Alpha Muhammad. They invited him to come to Chicago. I went with him. I drove him and his little son, Joseph. Me and the three of us went to Chicago because they invited Imam Alpha to come and speak at Patriotism Day. It was Patriotism Day. And Imam Muhammad, he's the one that told America there's new patriots. There's new patriots in America. And he's the one that lifted up that American flag. He said, if y'all won't do it, I'll do it by myself. And walked down Stony Island Avenue with that big American flag. And he named it that we want to have New Patriotism Day every year. And that year I went with Imam Alford out to Chicago for him to talk and give a concerning Patriotism Day. I think he might have a tape. I tried to get him to get that tape because he made an excellent talk. And I said, man, you need to get this tape and see if we can get it out into the community, man. I don't know whether he did it or not, but I hope maybe he had a tape. Maybe he can still go back in his archive. And I think it's a good time to bring it out going into this year for 4th of July and June 10th time. I think,
yes,
man, that would be a good time,
yes,
to do that. I think,
yes,
it would be a good time to do that. Because he gave
me
time to talk, buddy, now. So I'm finna,
yes,
close,
sir.
And I hear my email, but ma'am, you all right? You about ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, I'm going to close out, and I want to thank the listening audience. I want to thank you, buddy, ma'am, Alfred, for giving me an opportunity to help you, man, and any time, brother, man. You know where I'm at. So once again, brother, ma'am, we give condolence to you and your family on behalf of the passing of your sister, and we ask Lord to strengthen you, brother, ma'am.
It is whatever happens to you, brother.
Yes, sir, and make your burden easy, buddy, ma'am. So I greet you, and I'd like to bring on the presenter for this for the day. I would love, brother, Imam Alpha Muhammad. Brother Imam, assalamu alaikum. Welcome, brother, ma'am.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you, dear brother and dear friend, brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar. And we've had some great days on Religion Means Alive with him. We love him dearly. He's been an ardent supporter of Imam W.D. Muhammad. He was with Imam Muhammad and against the bad leadership before it was even popular among the people. You know, I got to say this before I get into my address today. You know, the back edition of Muslim Journal.
Excuse me?
Okay.
The back edition of the Muslim Journal has a feature advertising of Minister Louis Farrakhan coming to speak at Masjid Al-Waqf, which is a masjid that's supposed to be associated with Imam Warith Deen Muhammad. Now, I'm going to read to you something from Imam Muhammad from the Ramadan session, and I want you to pay very, very extraordinarily close attention. So when we say, and to God you return, and to Allah you must return, you don't think that means dying in the graveyard. Let's get away from these lesser or important ideas and pictures we have in our mind. Oh, yeah, he returned to Allah. Who returned to Allah? I saw him put in the ground. They put dirt over him. What are you talking about? He returned to Allah. His earth returned to the earth. That's what we did. He was made of earth, and we put him back in the earth. But what about his spirit? What about his soul? He left it with us, and it's our obligation to return it to Allah. And the only way we can return it to Allah is to return it to the plan, the community plan that God wanted that life to be. And Imam said, phew, now it has me. Yes, I want to return to Allah. All of us have a spirit to return to Allah, and that spirit will never be satisfied until we have an Ummatil Islamiyya following this Quran and following the life of Muhammad as it is being. Open up to us. Praises be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. That's where we're going. We were created to go there. We got to go there. That's what it means to return to Allah. Now, a lot of you, you let whispers whisper into your ears. You would let somebody that doesn't mean this community any good come to you and talk bad about me or talk bad about somebody else. And you can hear it in your spirit. And I can feel it in your spirit. The people go whisper and they're going to talk about it. Have a resolve. Well, I know Imam, as I told one brother, I could hear it in his voice, in his spirit, that he was leaning against me. Not me personally. He didn't know me personally. Very few people do. But what he knew was somebody had been speaking in his resolve. That's why before we go to bed at night, we have to say, A'udhu billahi min shaitani rajim. And then we say, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Say, I seek the refuge and God from the people whisper. And as a knock, we should have a resolve. So you can't turn me against Imam W.D. Muhammad. And you can't turn me against another brother who is dedicated to Imam Muhammad. You just can't do that. And I have enough sense to know who is with Imam Muhammad. And you don't have to like someone personally. Don't allow people to beat you up. The reason we have not been able to defeat our enemy inside of this community, I'm talking to the inside now. And I'm also talking to the outside. Those of you, many of you are not even Muslim. Some of you don't even know us well. I would say to you, come into this association and help us clean this association up. That's what happened to me. That's how I returned back to the Nation of Islam in 1969. I came in 1960, and I wasn't really, hadn't come with my intellect and come with my spirit, but I didn't have the mind, the spirit, the will to follow the Nation of Islam, because I knew the corruption. I knew the bad leaders. I knew the weaknesses of the Nation of Islam. But when I returned in 69, I came back with the spirit that nothing could turn me against the Nation of Islam. And it was my job, my obligation, was to return the Nation of Islam back to its pristine intent. And that's the resolve you have to have. That's why we can have people taking our property. That's why we can have people running off with our money. That's why we can have people abusing our leadership. But you refuse to stand as a solid rock. And even though you may go to Juma, even though you may go to all the Salat, you miss the most important thing of the Salat. Don't let nobody break your ranks. Don't let nobody whisper about your brother. And if you do have some, bring it to your brother. Bring it to your sister.
If we stand as one solid wall, we will defeat the enemy. We will make Satan despair. As long as you got your own envy, as long as you got your own jealousy, as long as you got your own doubt, as long as you got your own weak, feeble attempts, and you let somebody whisper there about what this person did before. I don't give a damn what that person did. I know Dr. King. You can't turn me against Dr. King. You can't turn me against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because I know that they're intent. I don't even want to hurt the other side. And that's how you should be. And if you got Nat Turner's blood in you, if you got the blood of Frederick Douglass, if you have the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and if you got the spirit of Imam Muhammad, you will return Imam Muhammad back to Allah. And Allah says he created, Imam Muhammad told us, he was born for the mission. And if he is born for the mission, you should be born to help him with the mission. I want to continue by reading something else from Imam Muhammad. And don't just go and read this stuff and don't discuss it and absorb it and apply it in time and space. Now Muhammad says, you have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand up on truth in your spiritual life as well as in every form of life. That's what the Salat is. You Qiyam, to stand upright, stand and bowing to the word of God. Not to your will, not to your envy, not to your jealousy, not to the whispers of people speaking against you. And as long as you surround yourself and have friends and associates that speak against what you're about, you're going to keep on getting weak. I'm going to continue reading. Stand upon truth and whether it's your feeling, own feeling, not. And you have to change your feeling and fight your feeling. You have to have a battle with yourself. Isn't that the teaching of the prophet? That the greatest jihad is the jihad with your own self? Imam Muhammad continued, I love boxing. A boxer has to train for fight. He has to get himself in condition for the fight. This is a jihad. You have to train your soul, your psyche, your feelings, your sensitivity. You have to train your warrior to support truth in the face of challenges from the world. Coming together with Muslims should answer God's call. It has to be a training program to put us in the condition necessary to be successful against the challenges. Once we get our own life together, we feel confident, I'm organized, I'm self-composed for the job at hand, and then we're ready to join those who are similarly constituted internally to get the job, big job done. Now, I want you to know, some of you may not know this, I don't move without inspiration from God. I don't even go places. I may say I'm going somewhere, but I don't get the inspiration from God to do it. I don't do it. This is what we have to be. We have to get ourselves committed. And those of you, if you give your hand and say you support a leader, support the leader. You may not. The leader may do this way, go that way. And every one of us in this community right now should either lead or follow a leader. And from what I can see today, the leaders that we have out here that some of you claim to follow haven't taken you very far. When we have a paper that's selling 9,000 copies and on the back of it, Louis Farrakhan, who is an enemy of this community, is on the back of that paper. You have people selling our places for fire sales and you don't say nothing about it. Stop being weak. I will never stand with weak people. We have to stand with strength. You may say, oh, Brother Imam, this is Imam Muhammad. You have a job on your hand. Why? Because you are in the state of mind that I was when I was a young minister, preaching my lungs out, damaging my nerves and heart, thinking that I had to get everybody to accept. We only need a few. I think what Margaret Mead who said, only a few needed to come together, well-organized, and they can change the world. She said, the world has been changed by a few well-qualified that can't come together. The world has been changed by that few. And she said, not only has the world been changed by a few, but that's the only way it ever happened. That's what she said. So you should never expect there's a multitude of people going to respond to the call of God, or the call of our prophet, peace be on him, or the call of our imam. You don't ever expect the multitude to come to that. They're going to sit and listen, and they're going to go back and eat Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeye or something, Burger King and hamburgers. They're going back to that, and they will watch the football game or the soap opera, and they're going to be the same old people. They were for the Imam W.E. Muhammad in Ramadan session.
That's right.
So we're not looking for those people. We're looking for a bean pie, looking for a joke, looking to play, games. Don't have any commitment, no resolve, no determination. I don't travel any place to make money. I travel first and foremost to fulfill with what God says. When God says this, seek with whatever means he's made available to you the promised life. But don't forget your share of the material world. Put in the Bible in another language. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Do I worry about money? No, I don't. I guess you say you're a fool. No. I worry about the big concern, because in the end, money can't do nothing for me, but the good deeds I have will be with me in the grave, just as those good deeds was going to be with my sister Cornelia Powell, my next to older sister. She has returned to God, returned to her creator. But when I say return, all it really means is what is her purpose. And I know one thing, she was a determined person. And I'm going to do everything in my power, the rest of the time I have on this earth, to be in touch with that spirit. Her physical body will return to the earth. Sin if Muslims separate from black people. We have an experience that makes it sinful. We have experiences, this is Imam Muhammad, that makes it sinful for us to separate ourselves from the rest of our people. We have experienced a life together as a people. And I'm telling you, it is a major sin. Some of you don't know it, but it is a major sin. But you are not punished for what you don't know. It is a major sin for any of us to see ourselves separate from our people. We can't accept that. No, because what I'm individually is because of what we have experienced together, past and present. I feel like I do and I want what I want, and I'm bothered by what I'm bothered with because I belong to my people. Not Egyptians, not Pakistanis. Not Arabs, because I belong to my people. That's why I feel and respond. That's why my spirit is burdened the way it is burdened, because I belong to my people. And my genes have a memory of being persecuted, rejected, tortured, killed in my ancestors before me. We all have this. We all share this in common. Black psyches share experience, bonded us. This is not a Mexican thing. This is not a Polish thing. This is not a Japanese thing. This is a black thing. This is an African-American thing. We have one life, and that is the life of our people. And we have a prominent psyche that is strong because of our shared experience over the many generations. I can't ignore that. We have feelings. Do you know we have group identity? That's what I'm dwelling on. We have group identity, and the group identity is more important than that individual identity. We're in the collective life more than in the private life. What makes up my identity for the greater part is my group life, our collective life as a people. To look at my creation and how it has formed, conformed, and rebelled. When I look at it, I don't see Wallace the welder. I don't see Wallace, the guy who was doing the walk at the dance. I don't see him. He's small in my life. But I see Wallace, who has a spirit to establish his life with his people so that his life fulfills a hunger in his soul for establishment as a people. The collective body, that's where I am, and that's where practically all of us are. Whether we know it or not, we are in the collective life more than we are in the private life. So we're building the leadership that we need to be successful with our plans, with our life on this earth, that we are trying to bring word to Allah, won't you? Allah created life upon a plan. And we'll have free thinkers, free spirit to accept, to stay with God or to follow the influences of the world. Influences in the world, pardon me. We have that freedom. But in time, that which is stronger is going to overcome that is weaker, and no matter what the world designed for our creation, their design is always weaker than the design of God. Don't think we are here to talk. Don't think, don't minimize the word of God. Don't minimize people preaching the word of God. Oh, that's just talk. No, it's not just talk. It is the spirit of God's word. And in time, that spirit in the people will manifest, even in the individual. But when it manifests in the individual, it's not that individual spirit. But the individual has taken it to his heart, his life, and his mind. The collective spirit, the spirit of the people. And in time, it will overcome, it will do away with the false creation and bring the creation back to God. I had no intentions of going this way. I prepared a whole nother lecture for you. I want to continue. So we travel on a journey. We go someplace. Our goal is to meet people, to build up the support of this leadership. And I know I'm one of the few people right now that is out here vocally calling for the leadership of Imam Debedi Muhammad. There are probably no more than five imams. And that's probably a high number even there. The vast majority of these leaders are not with Imam Muhammad. Weren't with him then. Ain't going to be with him ever. You can go and pray with them. You can pray behind them. That's your business. But you're not going to build a community because they're not for community. They weren't with community when Imam Muhammad was here. I would invite you to support us. Tell the people that you see and meet to listen to our broadcast. Don't be afraid. Don't be so weak that you can't push somebody else. And don't you go with skepticism. If you go, I'm going to just go and see what he's doing. I had a brother tell me that. I just don't want to waste my time. Go about your business. I work from sunup to sundown and beyond to make sure that Imam Muhammad's message is put in the hands of African-American people. Now, where our address is education for global leadership. Let us get our notes and go to work. But before we go to work, we want to also bring your attention to starting Saturday, the 7th, we are going to have at 1 o'clock, Wali Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's grandson, is going to broadcast on Religion Means Alive, the communicator returns. So you can dial 805-727-7013, and you will have Wally, the communicator, and he will be on from 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on Saturday. We will return again Saturday at 5 o'clock. We are working now with Buddy Mount off of Farrakhan. We're hoping that he can bring with him a team of young people that can actually do music. He's a musician. I'm going to replay the broadcast of him yesterday talking about the Tulsa massacre. Black Wall Street, where we had about 40 square blocks were burned and over 300 of our people were killed. Doing for self. 300 of our people were killed. That's just registering your soul. When I get tired, when I get weary, when I get depressed, I think about those 300 souls. I think about those millions of our people who died. See, I'm not interested in establishing any other people. Let me get another clear point to you. I want to make this crystal clear. the vast majority of our people are not even in a position to choose a religion. We're too psychically damaged. We can't make a choice. That's why Imam Muhammad used to teach classes, he called them compared to religion classes. Because integrated in that class has to be the psyche understanding of the damage that has been perpetrated and predicated upon us as a result of child slavery. I'm going to review some of the things that happened to us. Our psyche has been broken. Our spirit has been broken. Our souls have been challenged. Our will has been broken. And Mitch McConnell, United States Senator Mitch McConnell, even though he doesn't respect himself in his office, I'm going to respect him. An old Alabamian said when President Obama came in office, we're going to break him. Yes. That's the intent. The whole intent is it's not a personal gift for President Barack Hussein about Obama. It is to break the spirit. Envy and jealousy. Continuing the ham myth. And that's why right now, that's why they put Minister Farrakhan on the back of our paper. It's bigger than Minister Farrakhan. It's Satan himself, the head of the scheme to undermine the plan of God. That's who put him on the cover of the paper. He was put on the cover of the paper for the express purpose to break the spirit, as he has broken the spirit of a lot of our young people. They feel terrible. They feel horrible that Minister Farrakhan, who worked assiduously against Imam Muhammad, and had he not worked against Imam Muhammad and was a paid tool to work against him and his cohort inside of our community, some of the same people you be smiling in our face, you don't know the facts. I know the facts. They had been secretly meeting with Farrakhan. And some of Farrakhan's people told me this. See, because everybody in Farrakhan's camp with Farrakhan. This is another thing. This is why you have to have a, excuse me a moment. That's why you must have fit leaders. You must have leaders that know what's going on. Leaders were not terrified and fearful and weak. That's why we speak in a forceful manner. Why are we speaking in a forceful manner? So you will have force inside of your soul, inside of your mind, inside of your spirit to resist the lures of Satan. And Satan wants you with poverty. He wants you in ignorance. He wants you to be just an automatic response to whatever he calls you to in the marketplace. And you will not be a competitive force in the world. Yes. This week, our focus is on education. Education. Tomorrow we're going to have a group of young people God is sending them towards. Lincoln University. They're going to be on the air. We're going to actually start a telethon. We want to have one day out of the week. Every week we like to feature two of the historical African American colleges. Some of you are in Radio Land that attended one of them or have children that attended them. We the Muslims should be a bigger supporter of the historical African American college. We should be working hard to promote the African American historical black colleges and universities that are having a struggle. Then we should be working hard to support, maintain, provide, promote these African-American businesses and baptizing our children into history, as Brother Imam just did, telling us about North Carolina Mutual,
life insurance that I understand we lost. But I'm going to tell you the same thing Abdullah Muhammad told you. He said we will lose it, but this time we'll get it back and we'll never lose it again. Our address is education for global leadership. The world is being reconfigurated. China is taking a dominant role in Asia and is attempting to dominate Asia. Fierce competition from India. Fierce competition from the Japanese. And China is saying it now wants to even diffuse its Muslim population. And move the Uyghur people throughout China so they won't be a collective block. Europe is reconfigurating and trying to become one society. South America is reconfigurating. And there's a tip by their leaders to come and form a collective voice. Brazil, country that predominantly African people, is reconfigurating, even though it is dominated by the European Portuguese descendants and the mulatto class. But I want you to know that right even in Brazil, the president of the Brazilian Supreme Court is an African man. I said African American because Brazil is in Africa and in America. We want you to also know that this broadcast has gone out throughout the African world, and our job is to reinvigorate the soul, the mind, the spirit of African people who have been brought to the Western Hemisphere. Continuing along this line of reasoning. And there in South America, there's still a tremendous color divide, a tremendous suppression, a tremendous eradication of self-esteem on African people in Peru, Bolivia. Wherever we are, we're being pushed to the bottom or kept at the bottom. The world is reconfigurating. In America, let's go back to Africa. The forces operating in Africa, from China, from India, from other places, to assign African people to third-class citizenship. Marrying among the African women, leaving half Chinese babies there, dominating, taking our resources. I'm happy to say one of our associates, Ishmael Kadar, is now working on a gas deal that will send gas, frozen gas, to China. So today the world is necessary for us to be in the global competition. I'm making a point here, but I couldn't go without telling you this. And we have to have faith. We have to have faith in people. Sometimes they may disappoint, but we have to have faith. We have to keep encouraging. This work is about faith. I was with Imam Muhammad one time, and a devil was talking. And the devil told Imam Muhammad, he said, well, you know, Brother Imam, if you told me to blow this guy's head off, I would do it. How long are you going to keep these guys? That's what he called them, these boys. And Imam Muhammad said, I'm glad that I like people. He said, we aren't in this work to make a profit. We're in this work because we like people. And that's what I said to you. If you are weak on your faith, you have to have faith in people. You have to have believe that they will come through whether you like them or not. If you approach them with faith, that's the same thing Jesus the Christ says. Go, your faith has healed you. That lady who was a sinner, the one lady who had four husbands. Now, I don't have the time to go into what those four husbands, the fifth, which is not yours. That's metaphysics. But he told her, go, woman, start to lady the blood issue. So he said, go, your faith has healed you. The world is reconfiguring. What does that mean? What does that mean? There's a battle in Africa between regressive, tribal, dominate, nationalistic, dominated forces that is threatened to decimate Africa, plus bad, dominant spirits coming from the Arab world who want to use Africa tool for Arab domination, and therefore we have Boko Haram. A competition for global leadership. I wonder, I don't hear any of imams in this country that come from Imam Muhammad addressing these issues like I am. If they were, I would be with them. I would support them. I wouldn't allow myself to be like some of you to hold your hand back. I'm telling you, dear beloved people, God will hold you responsible. When I, in the early days, I already was looking to leaders inside of the Nation of Islam to be the best carriers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's message. And when I studied and concluded by 1973 that Minister Louis Farrakhan was not a fit leader and was not interested, I had withdrawn my support and had walked out of the mosque, even though I continued to support the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's the kind of person I was. And by 1973, I had witnessed that Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, was a fit leader. And my spirit and my loyalty, and I was telling people that. So I wouldn't be like some of you. You won't go out and preach it. You won't go out and say it. Religion means a lie is the one that's answering our call. But God is going to do that. God is going to bring that to the people. We're going to continue to work until we are gone to make sure that this message gets to the people. The world is reconfigurating. So there in Africa, the vision, America, they brought the animals out, the Tea Party, the rich, powerful people brought the Tea Party out to smash even the American political contract. The Supreme Court disrespecting the president. The Congress disrespecting the president. Even the people and the president's staff undermining the president. Only because he's an African-American and they want to smash the rule and break the spirit of African-American people. But God said, for Macaroon and Macrolaw. Allah who Karen Makarin. They plot Makara. Those don't know Arabic, learn it. If you don't know it, trust someone who does know it. And I don't know much, but I know enough to know this. The word Makara means a plot. And God says he will outplot you. That is not God. God is already planning. He gives a plan to man. Let us work out our own destiny. That's why you can't be naive and a fool. And you tell me God could take care. God gives you a free will and a destiny. And you're going to be charged. What did you do to push the plan of God? And what did you do to push the plot of the righteous against the unrighteous? Or what did you do to prevent people from stealing our property? What did you do to stop people from stealing our money? What did you do to help redeem our leadership, our leader, so his image, his reputation, his integrity is not being destroyed by thieves that come among us? What did you do? And what does this have to do with global leadership? A lot. Because once we stand up in our own soul, in this community,
stand up and have local leaders that are strong, that are committed, that are determined to bring the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad to the global stage. That's what you said if you follow Imam Muhammad. You should be listening to someone who is talking like this. One thing about me, I'm not a coward. If I see somebody stand, I may not like that person. I'll stand with that person as long as that person is standing with truth. If only three is together, I'm going to keep standing with that three. And I know eventually, with that three, we're going to develop other people. We're going to have a very now here's an event I want to do before I slip my mind. We want you to come to the Father, Son, Men, and Boys Association breakfast. We're going to have Sister Alima Muhammad. She was an eyewitness to history when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Dr. King, two men of different persuasion, two men that saw East and West that came together. She was an eyewitness to that. We're going to have Brother Imam Askir Muhammad, who was in fact the mayor of the city of New York, chose him to do the prayer when he was inaugurated. This is no small thing. I think Joseph Muhammad, my son, going to be one of the panelists. We'll have Brother Muhammad Abdul Aleem. And we want all of you all to come out to pack the place and have a time where we have an enlightenment. We will have the four rivers together, education. There will be an opportunity for business because there will be vending. There will be opportunity for culture because I hope we'll have some entertainment. There will be an opportunity for organization. All four rivers are together. That's what we have. We need to show that. That's why we're on this air. Someone suggested we be on the air 7 days a week. Because the only way you're going to deprogram yourself out of slavery, the only way you're going to deprogram yourself out of oppression, the only way you're going to deprogram yourself out of poisonous Christianity, poisonous Islam. Because you should poison Islam. Yeah, not El Islam. Poisonous Islam. Most of us who claim to be Muslim today have picked up the orthodox version of the Quran, and it is as poisonous as a rattlesnake. Spookisms, ritualism, Arabisms, schisms, all kinds of schools of thought and confusion with no meaning. But I tell you something, dear people, when we get those chosen few in America that stand together and work daily, I believe we can only get what we're working for is 1% of our population. We can get 1% committed people. But I believe that a lot of us who are here today are not going to be here tomorrow. But I'm convinced those of you who listen to this broadcast and listen to it on a regular basis, you're going to be with us. You're the ones who God has determined to be the ones who will bring in this new order. You're the ones who will bring in this new world. You're the ones that's going to return Imam Muhammad back to his original intention. And his intention is to remake the world, to remake the moral world, where our concerns are bigger than ourselves. We're concerned about Mother Earth. We're concerned not to see smog choking us out where you have to walk around with a gas mask in China. Can you believe that? So much disrespect for the planet that you got to have a mask on to walk the streets of Beijing. Oceans polluted. Shouldn't you, as a global citizen, be concerned about that? Every every one of our rituals. I'm going to review them for us again. They are vitally important. The prophet was told that Buni al-Islam al-Khamsa, al-Islam is built on fire to witness that there is but everything in creation, Kulishe, is under God. That in witness, and this, what this is telling us, that scientifically, just like our first father, Abraham, he scientifically looked at the creation. Looked at the moon, looked at the stars, looked at the sun and saw they set, and he said there had to be a cause behind it. And that creation was an effect, but the cause was Allah. He witnessed that. The word, same Arabic word for witness is the same word for present. You said the word shahada. Those who are present mean more than one present. That you are witness. That there is God, not, only God. And that the second witnessing and that the highest station in creation is man being the messenger of God. That's the Shahada came. But God sends messages through man to creation. Oh, brother, but you forgot to say the prophet is the Qasim Nabiyun. So I didn't forget. The prophecy is the same as a prototype, a model. The model human being has no need for anything else to be added to that model. So when we say Muhammad is the model human being, the champion human being, we have already included Jesus Christ. We have already included Moses. We have already included Idris. We have already included Adam, the beginning of the human intellect. Joseph, the ability of a human being to interpret his reality. Idris, the educator and cultural refined. Moses, the governor. Christ Jesus, the intuitive, the inner life, the inner government. And Muhammad led them all in devotion and gave the model of how to build the model society. For the inviolability, the inalienable rights, Muhammad went from that inviolability. We're talking of a night visit. He went over, took him from the five masjid, the sacred inviolability, up above the political rule in Jerusalem, to the heavens, up through the seven stations, all the seven needs of man, led all the seven, represent the seven, created a revolution, and came back down and built Medina, a community. So the whole destiny of man is community life. The destiny, we go to a masjid and they're not taught about community life, you haven't gone to Jummah. You've gone someplace where they've made salat, some devotion, but they have made Jummah. God will reward you for your intention, but I'm not a spook. I'm not a mystic. I'm not a person that's just going to follow rituals without following rituals. I'm not a stupid person. And very soon we're going to answer the problem of a lot of Muslims who don't have any place to go with Jummah. We're going to begin to do Jummah on the web. You better press a button and give your zakat there. We'll have the money to travel to these towns and cities and go to these places and teach and raise up and appoint people to be leaders for Imam Debi Deen Muhammad's community. That's what we got to do. Fight the schemes of Satan. Don't just sit back and go, oh, that's all right with Farrakhan. No, it ain't all right. You know what Farrakhan is teaching? He's still teaching that God is in the person of Master Farrakhan Muhammad, a human being that goes to the bathroom. And that the Ambulance of Muhammad is his messenger. The Ambulance of Muhammad had given that idea up in 1965. I think it's page 68 of the message to the black man. He said, we make a fool of ourselves to call a man God. Says, and our Savior has arrived. No man is Allah. That's the Ambulance of Muhammad. How are we going to reconciliate with a lie? How are we going to reconciliate when we say the Shahada chain, we accept the authority of God as it is given in the Quran? We can't make up the will of God. We're not free to say what God wants. We know what God said. We follow the manual that God gave us. You can't take a Mercedes-Benz and use it on a Ford. You can't take a Mercedes-Benz and use it on an airplane. On a Boeing 747. You can't pick a jet propulsion manual and use it to run a submarine. And by the same token, you can't use the teachings of the Nation of Islam, a temple to govern the world. And any liar, any thief, anybody who you want to be friends with the person is either a weak person or a devil. I wouldn't even be in the same location with Mr. Farrakhan. I wouldn't even been where he was. If a million people, I would be too afraid that the Benjamin Franklin Bridge may collapse with me coming across it. God says to us through his messenger, Muhammad, Amala Beniyat, deeds are judged by intentions. Amala, deeds, translated, matters are judged by intent. We have to have a proper, I don't want to be any place with anybody who is saying to the public today that God is a man and that any other human being other than the one that God chose for humanity to be his model, to show us how to be educated. And Muhammad is the educator that started education, public education. It was not Christ Jesus. It was Muhammad who started public education. It was Muhammad who taught man how to have civilized warfare. It was Muhammad who taught man even how to run a family where there was more than one wife. He gave the model, not 10, 15, 20 wives as Joseph Smith of the Mormons had. No, limit four. And really, when you think about those four wives, that's speaking deeper. That's talking about business. That's talking about education. That's talking about culture and government. And I know Muhammad had nine. And that's all metaphysics, too, even though he was permitted to have that. All of that needs to be taught. And God has blessed us that one from among us, the African-American slaves, have been given the secrets to understanding the message for the world. And that's why God is reconfigurating the world. And this is why this is a day of religion. So how then, even if Mr. Farrakhan were teaching the people the truth, could I accept it? No, I couldn't. Why couldn't I accept it? Because he's lying to the people and telling them that Scientology, Dianetics, L. Ron Hubbard has an answer for the psychic needs of African American people, and that's a damn lie. L. Ron Hubbard has nothing to offer African American people. We want to learn something about how to help African American people's psyche. We can go to Allison Davis. We can go over to Martinique and get the French Martinique scholar, France Fanon. We have Carter Woodson. We have many, Dr. Naeem Akbar. Why are we going to go and get some white man and put another white image up before our people as the salvation? And you all can go and you can play with Farrakhan. You can be sympathetic with him if you want. But see, won't God fill hell with you? And this is to Minister Farrakhan's followers. There's too much truth. God is not going to hold you responsible if you don't know. Maybe it's good they're not listening. Some of them are listening. And I know that some of them inside the nation of Islam are weak. They know that Farrakhan is not teaching the truth. And that's why you who are with us should get strong. You should rush and support what we're doing at Religion Means Alive. And if you know of anybody else is teaching like this, let me know. Because I spend most of my time researching, studying, looking for that which is good for this community. God knows I'm not selfish about that. I'm not here to promote Alfred Muhammad. I'm here to support the leadership of Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad. If you would get with me and others like me, we can go out on the streets of America and to the homes of the people in America and tell them what God has given us. And I'm telling you, you should study this tape. You should study it extensively as I continue and present what the five pillars mean. We're witnessing that there is nothing but one God, that the whole creation is a systemic statement about that God and his intention. And God tells us when Muhammad went to God, went to himself, went into his mind, into the cave, seeking enlightenment. Read the cave, also study the cave and Plato. In the skull and contemplated the conditions of his people. God sent Jibril, the Holy Spirit, the angel Jibril, to tell him to read with the name of our Lord. The Lord is the one that takes a thing from his beginning to his ending, to his completion. Then said, read in the next, with the name of Allah. Muhammad knew about Allah because he was around Christians. He was around Jews. But God said, your Lord, read with his name. Somebody's going to text me soon and say, read in his name. Well, you don't know Arabic, none of the rest of them do either. The one that knows more Arabic than any of us with Imam Muhammad. All the big head scientists, all the Mali conference, they don't know no Arabic. And they certainly didn't know enough to translate it. To read with his name. And you know why they can't get the Arabic? Because of the fact they want it for egotistical reasons. And you will never get it for the reason. If you want to get it to teach it to people, God will give it to you. He will give you more and more and more and more. And I'm getting more and more understanding. I take it form of Arabic. But I've gotten more because I want to teach you and give you an understanding. Be spooked. So you won't be intimidated when you get around other people. So you won't feel bad and feel ashamed. Teach you how to read the Quran in about 5 days. How to read it in the language of Arabic. The 28 vowels, 3 letters, 28 letters, about 28 sounds, 3 vowels, not very difficult. 6 concepts a day and you'll be able to read the Quran, you'll be able to read the Al-Fatiha, you'll be able to read it to recognize the word, to recognize the letters. Nothing spooky about it. Stop making it hard. God says it made it easy. And you build your vocabulary up and you start understanding. So let's not get spooky. Now, let us continue. And it says to Salat, like coming to Salat, and establish the Salat. What is the Salat? What we're doing right now, education. With what? Not my own mind, not my own spirit, not something I make up, but the word of God. with the name, whatever we do, and establish and educate, it has to be with God's name, the merciful benefactor. We're studying plasm physics. We have to understand that plasm physics is from God. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And then that with the redemptive power, that we want to redeem the society. We want to redeem the ignorant. We want computer educational literacy for all people. That's the premise of a redeemer. People who are even lost in sin. People who are lost in corruption. People who are lost and dead. The merciful redeemer. God sends messages, sends prophets, and sends revivers. And it's God's mercy that today he has sent a reviver, a guided one. You think Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad could have changed the nation of Islam if God weren't with him? Well, what has happened after that? A lot of great things have happened. We just right now have a lot of weak people who have been damaged by slavery. They're afraid to stand up. We've been given a lecture series in Chicago at the first Sunday. And what is that lecture series called? It has been called The Emergence of Global Man, The Reluctant Witness. The next time we go back to Chicago, and we hope you'll be in Tinley Park, Illinois, at the Muslim Convention. We're already hearing from people that we probably will have 100 or more buses coming. I heard reports from everywhere that there will be buses. Talk it up! Speak it up so we can have one word that expresses that we, God, has appeared in America. Oh, God has appeared in America. What do you mean, brother? God's word has appeared in America. It started February 26, 1975, when the Quran was openly read in America. Meaning that the Ahmadiyya Muhammad's wishes had been fulfilled. That one day his people would get this religion. I know the liars. I know the thieves don't want you to believe that. I know they want you to tell that Farrakhan is the proper leader. Imam Muhammad is not the leader. And he established the Salat. Not the Salat in the sense of having lining up with their band, but he showed us that when you call the Evan, we're calling God is greater. Four times representing the four rivers of game, education, business, culture, and government. God is greater than Donald Sterling. God is greater than Harvard University. God is greater than Carnegie Hall. He's greater than Snoop Doggy Dogg. He's greater than Clive Davis. He can create a culture, even though they got trap music. That is the music of insanity. God is greater than any of that. And with determination and with will and with strength, we will overcome that. Five devotional practices. So when we rise in the morning, beginning of society, we come together to get our morals and our mental life together as an individual and come in a group to develop the society. And on the top, when the industrial society is at its peak, we have 12 units, a rule, standing on God's principles, vowing as we get weaker that something is greater. The Lord is greater than any of that. And even that when there's social death, we will be resurrected. Turning what in the direction? To the Kaaba, to be connected. We want to be disconnected? No, we don't want to be disconnected. We don't want to be disconnected from our soul. We don't want to be disconnected from our mind. We don't want to be disconnected from our spirit. We don't want to be disconnected from our humanity. We don't want to be disconnected from the material world. We don't want to be disconnected from the global world. Allahu Akbar. That's the five senses being brought alert to God. And if you don't have the real understanding of this, this your five times a lot means almost nothing. God says in the last days, he will give you a double portion of your mercy. So you've denied yourself the mercy of God. If you don't understand, you don't proceed to understand it more than just praying. This is not prayer. This is devotional practices so you can be informed, so you can be in shape to build a society, to build a mind, to build a spirit, to build a will that God wants for you. And to establish the Zakat. First, the proper conception of man, the proper conception of God, that God is not man. That man is man and God is God over all of the creation. Third, that you are to spend purify yourself in the material world, which means you didn't have to have material. We're going to publish this in a book called Al-Islam, the African American and the Destiny of Man. Because we want our people to understand that even if they don't become Muslims, that they will have that spirit, that will. They are not being taught this in Christianity. This would even help our Christian brothers and sisters to fashion a better form, a better understanding of Christianity. Just what I'm teaching now from what I've gotten from Imam Muhammad. I don't have anything of my own, neither do you. So the Zakat is representing 2.5 of the surpluses. You know, I've heard a story of an African-American man who was only earning $12 an hour, and he'd saved in a period of time, maybe 20 years, over $500,000. I would love to find that man and bring him on the radio program. These are the kind of classes we should have in our centers, in our schools. Huh? When a young person get out of school, the money that they would give to McDonald's, they get out of in the sixth grade, the fifth grade, the 6 years old. By the time they're 20 years old, they're millionaires. Huh? Instead of wearing some stupid sneakers. Instead of spending money on trap music, instead of spending money on rap music, huh? Instead of spending money on that, you're developing wealth. Huh? You become 18 years old, you and your husband put the money together, and you're able to buy a home. You own a business. That's the way we have to educate our people. That's the kind of thinking that we have to put in our people's soul and in our mind and in our spirit. And in our will. That's what we have to do. That's the kind of person that we have to make in our bodies. Huh? We'll have a Donald Sterling if we practice these principles. That to tell us 2014, you all don't give nothing back. You should be pushing and pulling to make sure that you as a people are independent. You should be pushing and determining that your people, wealth and resources, that your pizza money, you should be figuring out how you can develop the African-American Muslim community so it is such a model, so its light will be so strong. It will be so powerful. That's what we're going to talk about at the Ramadan session. That's our address at the Ramadan session. Yes, we're going to address the people at the Ramadan session. And it will be called, this is the Ramadan session, dear people. I'm going to read it to you. Ramadan session, Quran, a book of guidance and a mercy to all the world. Now, it will be held at 18th through the 20th at 929 West 171st Street, East Hazelcrest, Illinois. Imam Abdul Karim Muhammad, Abdul Muhaymin, Abdul Rashid Akbar, Imam Alfred Muhammad, Elam Muhammad, Fuquan Muhammad, Wajidin Webdeen Muhammad, Hafiq Muhammad, Hatim Rasul, Nasser Ahmed, many of these people. My presentation will be the Quran in the establishment of community life, New Africa, a light for the world. A light for the world. In other words, when properly understood, these five pillars establishes a very important principle. And I'm going to share with one of them, even how we conceive of Allah. Imam Muhammad says more important is to conceive of Allah as Allah the creator rather than Allah the rescuer. You know, we pray only when we get in trouble. But just think of what Allah has created in us as human beings. He has given us an eye to visualize. He's given us a brain to think. He's given us a mouth to be eloquent, to carry his message to all worlds, all the worlds of knowledge. Understand, dear people, understand what God has given us. That if we look at our devotional practice, those five daily rituals we have, we will then understand that those rituals are so powerful, when properly understood, that it will make you the most creative and most dynamic and the most competitive person on the earth. I was telling my son, I said, you know, he said, well, there's nothing going to be able to succeed Windows. Taught me Bill Gates. And I thought about it. I told him, I said, God's going to give you all technology greater than he has given Bill Gates if you submit your will to God's will. And when you go down in your devotional practice, the Pana Bill Avim. The Avim is representing great, what we look to. We look to government. We look to the cultural establishment. We look to the academic establishment. We look to all types of establishment. God is saying, Subhanahu wa Bill Avim, he is greater than any of these institutions that he has created, and he will give you greater. You don't think God's going to give us more than he's going to give anybody else if we stay true to our form and we have gone through the testing machine? No, he's going to reward you with more. And that's what we need to tell our people. Don't be afraid to tell our people that they are special if they're in that form. I believe a lot of our people, if they knew, if our young people were calling themselves Bloods and Crips, and other types of names, if they knew their speciality as human beings and worthy citizens of the globe and the best citizens of the globe, the fact was that we could produce a Maya Angelou should be enough to tell us. Here's a woman molested, couldn't speak because her uncle had the courage to kill this person that molested her. She's 4 years old, grown man, molested someone. They killed him. Praise be to God for them. We had more of our people in our community clean up, pick away the filth and corrupt people, that molestation and incestuous people. You have to stamp this stuff out. This is a straw in our community. Man moved into a house. He molested a woman's children, molested a boy, molested a girl. That happens. These are the unresurrected spirits from plantation life and from the corrupt, psychotic slave masters we have had. Have to be smashed. Now, we have about 4 minutes. We're going to finish up these other two pillars. And we have, and it says, and fasting during Ramadan. Siam Ramadan. During the daylight hours, the real message here is knowledge that corrupts man. His man's appetite to corrupt man. The nature is not bad. So at night, the blackness, when the night comes, when the darkness comes, God is saying to you, you can eat, you can drink, you can have sex with your lawful wife. And those who are not married, those who are in sin, I would tell you for Ramadan, the best way to break these bad habits is for Ramadan, give your cigarettes up, give your alcohol up, give your drugs up. I'm talking to people of all shapes and minds. Oh, you shouldn't even be drinking. That's a damn lie. That people drink, they smoke, they gamble, they do all these things. This is a human condition that we have. We're telling you how to break these habits. This is not a show for spooks. This is not a show program for the unreal. It is a program for the real. So during Ramadan, we should invite our neighbors to try fast. If you don't do it, not for one day. 5 hours. Don't eat. Don't drink. Don't have sex. Don't smoke cigarettes. Because you're restraining yourself and being able to give your will over to God. That's why God, he will reward it himself. Because you're giving your will to return to your nature. You're naturally good. You're naturally restrained. No child comes in the world being obese. No child comes in the world being greedy. No child comes in the world being envious and jealous and argumentative and challenging and rebellious. So for the daylight hours, restrain yourself. And especially during the daylight hours, you should fill your head and your mind and your spirit with the word of God. Give the Quran to one of your neighbors. Tell them to read it. And don't eat, don't drink. Teach them why we fast. What's the purpose? And that's another thing. Stop arguing and being angry. Do that during the daylight hours and restrain yourself and get into the spirit of restraint. And give yourself over to the will of God. And God will reward that. Fifth pillar. All of these are educational institutions. But what we left humanity. And we start out circulating the house 7 times just for the 7 prophets of the 7 major dominant forces in our lives. And then we run to and fro 7 times, to and fro. What? Struggle. And knowing out of that struggle, God will establish the life he has for us and bring us to innocence. To return to innocence. This is the profound message that Imam Muhammad gave them on Mount Arafat, meaning the place of connection, reconnected. And if we are reconnected to our life, the natural life that God has intended for us, and we will supersede anything on the face of the planet Earth. Dear beloved people, as we close this address, we appreciate you. We love you. We're not at all intimidated by any forces in the society. We know that God is with us to make us a people to lead the world back to light. That's what God has put. This is what all of this has been for. Just got a report while I was even doing this broadcast that as recent as in the late 60s, about 7 African Americans had been slaves. We've been through the mill. Let us call our people back to their destiny. Let us call them to the right spirit. Let us call them to understand that God Almighty himself has intention to make us the leader of the world. And to bring the world and to reconfigurate the world to obedience to God. And our model will be not Machiavelli. It will not be Plato. It will not be even John Adam. Our model will be Muhammad. and the most insightful man into Muhammad and in the Quran ever to walk the face of the planet Earth, a sense the model human being is Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad, and we will make that world conform to the will of God, and that's God's plan for the human being. Peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. Dear beloved people, before we close out, we do want to ask you for a donation. We need your donation to be sent to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. 07036, Imam Alfred Muhammad. As we greet you in peace, assalamu alaikum.